You know, I have to say, if Trump's stock in the Truth Social, his company, drops any lower, he might do better under my tax plan than his.
Awesome. Not a bad joke. Sleepy Joe.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Brandcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's, AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet. It's on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us today for another thrilling edition of The Bradcast. Glad to have you here. It has been, Desi Doyen, a hell of a day trying to put all of this together.
I know. The thrills just don't stop.
No, they don't. And they ain't that thrilling either, by the way.
No.
You know, it's very easy to describe Donald Trump as a very sick man. Clearly he is. Nothing particularly controversial about that for anyone who's based in the reality-based community. And we will get into some of his illnesses and his ongoing criminal trial in New York in a bit. But the fact that he is still the Republican Party's presumptive nominee for president of the United States, despite all that we know about his illnesses and the autocratic, fascistic, literal threat of retribution to his political enemies that his various illnesses pose to the nation and the world. The fact that we know all of this and the Republican Party still chooses this guy to be their standard bearer this year, and that for all intents and purposes, he is still essentially tied with a functioning, not deranged, and arguably wildly effective president who is running for re-election against Donald Trump, well, that suggests that the illness that we need to worry about is really not Donald Trump's, but our own, ours as a nation. Yes, Donald Trump is sick. But so is our nation, at least a huge chunk of our nation, a huge chunk of Americans who, knowing what we all know about Donald Trump, would still support this guy to become the next president of the United States again. Yes, there is an insidious and well-funded and well-organized right-wing media that effectively keeps much reality and facts from reaching many of these people at all. But for many, even though they are at least familiar with that reality and those facts, they are still unable to find their way out of the brain poisoning. The brain poisoning that has taken place over years, many years now, by Trump, in cahoots with that right-wing media, to the point where many of his supporters are willing to essentially turn over not just their support and their vote, but their life savings. Their life savings to this guy. You'll recall about 2 weeks ago when Donald Trump was ordered by the New York court to turn over either $175 million in cash or a bond worth about that amount to prevent the state's attorney general from executing the nearly half a billion dollar judgment against him in the massive civil fraud lawsuit, which he lost. He and against him and his company and his top executives, including his two eldest sons. You may remember that. Now, there are serious questions about that bond, that $175 million bond. And a court hearing is scheduled next week, I believe, where the New York Attorney General, Tish James, has a few questions about whether the bond that Trump submitted from this sleazy and, let's be kind, questionable California surety company, whether they are even legit, whether that bond is even legit for purposes of forestalling the state's seizure of Trump's property while he appeals the $464 million fraud judgment against him. But on the same day that he turned in that questionable bond, many Trump opponents were also disturbed to learn that through some scammy merger with Trump's media company that runs his social media site known as Truth Social, somehow or another, through this merger, Donald Trump suddenly became some $3.5 billion richer that day. On that same day, when the newly merged company, now publicly trading on Wall Street under Trump's initials, DJT. When that weird merger suddenly vaulted the disgraced former president onto Bloomberg's elite list of the 500 wealthiest people on the planet. But for those who were troubled by that a few weeks ago, well, have you checked Wall Street lately? The Trump Media Group, now trading as DJT, has been absolutely plummeting pretty much every day since it went public. On Tuesday, it closed down more than 14%. 14% from the day before when, by the way, it had plunged about 18%. So that's all well and good to folks like you and me who are, you know, enjoying this free fall and watching this seemingly free money of Trump's, seeing all of this sort of fall to earth, you know, as the company becomes perhaps a penny stock in a few weeks if it keeps on falling at this rate.
It does look like that's where it's headed.
But what about the Trump supporters who actually bought into this scam? Well, that's where the Washington Post's Drew Harwell picked things up in a report that is almost equal parts hilarious and, frankly, heartbreaking on Monday night. Jerry Dean McClain first bet on President Donald Trump's Truth Social 2 years ago, buying into the Trump company's planned merger with Digital World Acquisition at $90 a share. Over time, the price changed. He kept buying, amassing hundreds of shares for some $25,000, pretty much his, quote, whole nest egg, he said. Well, that nest egg has lost more than half its value in just the past 2 weeks as Trump Media and Technology Group's share price has dropped from $66 after its public merger to just $26 on Monday. In fact, on Tuesday, it closed down again, as I noted, another 14%. It is just at, what is it at the close? Just under $23 as of Tuesday.
66 to 23.
Yep. That's
more
about
than half.
Two-thirds, yeah. But the 71-year-old Jerry Dean McClain, who owns a tree removal service outside of Oklahoma City, said he's not worried. If anything, he wants to buy more. Quote, I know good and well it's in Trump's hands and he's got plans, he said. I have no doubt it's going to explode sometime. Well, that may depend on your definition of the word explode, I'm afraid. For shareholders like McClain, investing in Truth Social is less a business calculation than a statement of faith in the former president, and the business traded under his initials DJT. Even the company's plunging stock price and the chance their investments could get mostly wiped out does not seem to have shaken that faith. As a business, Trump Media has largely underwhelmed. The Post reports the company lost $58 million last year, and it took in just $4 million in revenue. That is, they note, less than the average Chick-fil-A franchise. Even as it paid out millions in executive salaries and bonuses and stock. The company, in other words, that has made Trump, for now, a billionaire, brought in less income than a single Chick-fil-A store, while going on to pay out huge bonuses to its executives at the same time. And in 2 years, Truth Social, the only business that is run by Trump Media, has attracted a tiny fraction of the traffic that other social media platforms see. But for some Trump investors, the stock is a badge of honor, a way to show their devotion beyond buying Trump merchandise and visiting his golf courses and donating to his campaign. Trump Media has boasted that it has benefited from a flood of, quote, retail investors. That's what they call them. Retail investors, small-time and amateur shareholders betting their personal cash, hundreds of thousands of them, according to the company. Quote, there's not another company out there that has retail investors like this, said Trump Media chief executive and former Congressman Devin Nunes, who this year will receive a $1 million salary, a $600,000 retention bonus, and a stock package currently worth more than $3 million. Now, I don't know, but I'd be surprised if the owner of a single Chick-fil-A store gives themselves a $1 million salary, a $600,000 bonus, and stock worth more than $3 million, I don't know, especially after losing nearly $60 million the year prior, but that's how Trump's companies roll, apparently. And yet, Trump supporters, brain-poisoned as they are, they seem totally cool with throwing their life savings at this guy's latest scam. At least some of them do. As the Post reports, many of Truth Social's investors say they're in it for the long haul. Todd Schlanger, an interior designer at a furniture store in West Palm Beach, who said Trump has been one of his customers, said he invested about $20,000 in total and is buying new shares every week. That, even as the value of the stock plummets by double-digit percentages almost every single day since it debuted as DJT. Schlanger said he now watches his stock performance every day, hoping for positive signs. In a Truth Social post last week, he encouraged, quote, everyone who supports Donald Trump and Truth Social to buy a share every day. And he asked, quote, do you think we have hit bottom? The stock has slid about 25% since that post, the paper reports. Actually, as of today, about 39 points since that post. Schlanger suspects the recent drops in share price have been the result of, quote, stock manipulation from a, quote, organized effort to make the company look bad. Well, you don't have to work that hard to make them look bad. They only brought in $4 million while losing about $58 million and paying their executives millions of dollars to do that.
Well, facts are difficult things, apparently.
In fact, as the Post reports, there's no proof of any such campaign, but Schlanger is convinced, quote, it's got to be political, he said, from all of the, quote, liberals that are trying to knock it down. Yeah, that's probably it, Todd. Keep buying those shares. Every day. That range of emotion is on full display. The Post notes, this is by Drew Harwell. He says it's on full display on Truth Social, where thousands of mostly anonymous accounts have flocked to meme-filled investor groups, one of which is emblazoned with a computer-generated image showing Trump pumping his fist on the Wall Street trading floor. Some accounts there have recently encouraged traders to keep investing, in a fight that they said was about good versus evil. Desi Doyen, this is about good versus evil, buying stock in Donald Trump's company.
Oof, I feel terrible for them.
It's a way to defend Trump, they say, from the liberal elites who are laughing at him and, by extension, them. The user, the Trump Truth Social user, calling themselves Baldy Locks USMC, so I guess it's a Marine, said, quote, "The fight has been long and hard on most of us," and that, quote, "this stock is not for the weak," but that one day they would triumph over critics who were, quote, "brainwashed beyond repair." The critics. I guess that's you and me, Des. We're the ones who are brainwashed beyond repair. After the billionaire media mogul Barry Diller called Trump media a scam stock bought by, quote, "dopes," one account, calling themselves Handbag 72, claimed to have bought more shares, arguing Diller didn't, quote, "get it," or was, quote, "at risk of losing a whole bunch of money." The next day, the account shared a 2021 blog post from an investing forum saying that Truth Social could be worth $1 trillion in the next 10 years. $1 trillion. For the record, Facebook's parent company, Meta, which owns the 20-year-old Facebook and Instagram and the popular messaging tool called WhatsApp, and is used all over the world, all of which are used all over the world. Well, they have a market cap of just $1.3 trillion. But sure, Truth Social may be worth $1 trillion somehow in a few years. But the post reports there are also flickers of uncertainty and disenchantment among Truth Social's own investors and posters, with some saying they faced thousands of dollars in losses or had, quote, "risked literally everything." One user who had posted, quote, "tired of winning yet," earlier this year when the stock had spiked, posted that the recent losses were, quote, "painful to stomach." User Bill7718 wrote, "come on, DJT. Every time I buy more, the price drops more." Adding, "when will it be the bottom?" The user Man of Peace 123, who said they bought shares at $65 and that 71% of their portfolio, 71% of their portfolio was in DJT stock.
Oh, dear.
Said on Wednesday that investing was a way of telling Trump, quote, "I believe in you and I stand with you through good times and bad." But a day later, that same user added, quote, "can't help but feel sad. Feel like I'm trying to catch a falling knife." Ouch. Another account, Real Jane Blonde, posted on Sunday that she was, quote, "not panicked, not worried," with "not" both times being in all caps, before then, 2 days later, posting a message to Trump and congressional Republicans urging them to make it, quote, "illegal to bet against or short sell stocks." Quote, "sick of my investment being stolen," she wrote. "They're stealing people's money and you're allowing it." So she's blaming Trump and congressional Republicans for her losing money because liberals are shorting the stock or something. This is not going to end well, says me, with "not" in all caps. Some users said they were, quote, "baffled." They were baffled by the stock's up and down, ups and downs. One user posted a meme image saying, quote, "if you're worried about your money, remember this. DJT stock is about free speech, and without free speech, money won't mean much." All right, whatever you need to tell yourself, I guess. In moments of apparent despair, some users work to lift one another up by arguing that they are enduring the same kinds of, quote, "deep state attacks" that has long shadowed Trump himself. When user Bing Blang Blau said that they were embarrassed to be so, quote, "deep in the red," and questioned why, quote, "everyone was acting like everything is fine," Chad Nedowin, a Canadian investor and prominent cheerleader of the stock on Truth Social, responded, quote, "No one's fine with it, but we are DJT now. The deep state is making their run at Trump and us. It's all the deep state." The user, however, posted afterward that the argument left him unconvinced. He said, quote, "I'm tired of blaming the deep state," he said. Later, he added, "You would think that the, quote, biggest political movement of all time would want to support the man leading it and get much better numbers than this." So McClain, the tree service owner in Oklahoma, the 71-year-old guy who we mentioned at the top of this story, who says he has now invested his whole nest egg, well, he said he believes the stock could, quote, go to $1,000 a share. Easy. That once the media stops writing so negatively about it and the company works through its growing pains. $1,000 a share. Again, it closed on Tuesday at about $23 a share. The company's leaders, he said, are being, quote, too silent right now amid questions about the falling share price, but he suspects it's because they are working on something amazing and new. My God. Jerry McClain said he invested only once before and, quote, lost his butt at the time. And this is disturbing. He said he hasn't talked to his family about his investment, saying, quote, "You know how that is." But he believes the Trump media deal is a sign that he is, quote, supposed to invest, he said. Quote, "This isn't just another stock to me. I feel like it was God Almighty that put it in my lap. I've just got to hold on and let them do their job. If you go on emotion, you'll get out of this the first time it goes down. Hey, Jerry, I'm not a professional investor either. So, you know, don't listen to me, but get out, Jerry. Sell your shares, Jerry." And that goes for the rest of MAGA. Get out. You are being scammed and hurt and harmed. Save yourself. Save your family. Get out while you still can. As mentioned, the story is sort of, you know, both hilarious and mostly, frankly, heartbreaking. Yeah, Donald Trump is sick and twisted, but so are a whole lot of other folks in this nation right now who have been broken by the right-wing media scammers that Trump used to coast into power. At some point, Trump will be gone. But this nation is still going to have to come to terms, frankly, about our own illness. You know, Trump didn't make us sick, but like the COVID virus, he has exploited our weaknesses to the point that he might just kill us all yet. And I'd love to say that it was, it's just on the MAGA rubes who have fallen for it, but it's not. It's not just the rubes. Over the weekend, the very popular, supposedly not insane, supposedly not far-right Republican governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, thought himself to be a potential presidential candidate at some point, and a top backer of Trump opponent Nikki Haley in her run for the Republican presidential nomination this year before she dropped out a few weeks ago. Chris Sununu was on ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos over the weekend, who asked Sununu if he was planning to vote for Donald Trump this year, even if he became a convicted felon following any of Trump's four different criminal trials. And Sununu made clear that, yes, even though Trump may be running for office as a convicted felon, he would absolutely still vote for the guy who Nikki Haley spent weeks bashing as unfit for office.
And you believe that a president who contributed to an insurrection should be president again?
As does 51% of America, George. So again, I know you're shocked that the Republican governor is supporting a Republican president and a Republican ticket, but it's about the ticket. It's about up and down the ballot, right? So to think that this is some sort of deal breaker, again, I'll go back to where I started, where people are going to say, yep, if he's convicted, I'm walking away. That's just not going to happen. At the end of the day, they want that culture change of the Republican Party. And if we have to have Trump as the standard bearer, and the voters decided that's what they wanted, not what I wanted, but what the voters, what the Republican voters wanted, if he's going to be the standard bearer of that, we'll take it if we have to.
So just to sum up, you would support him for president even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You'd support him for president even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
Governor, thanks for your time this morning.
Unbelievable.
Wonder how much money Sununu is willing to give to Truth Social. So what does this tell us about the Republican Party at this point, given that Sununu is actually considered to be a so-called moderate in the party at this point? He's not part of the crazy right wing, at least so we thought, but he's still planning to vote for Trump, even if Trump is a convicted felon. What does all of this tell us about us? By the way, the guy that all of these people are still supporting with their votes, with their money, including their life savings in some cases, well, he was told by the judge overseeing his criminal trial in New York, which concluded its second day of jury selection on Tuesday, that the judge said he would not allow Trump to go to the Supreme Court next week to watch the oral argument on the ridiculous matter of whether presidents of the United States are immune from all criminal charges, that presidents must be allowed to break whatever laws they wanted to as president. Last week, Trump took to his failing social media scam, Truth Social, in advance of the start of his first criminal trial in New York to claim once again, not that he was innocent of any felonies that he is accused of in four different jurisdictions now, for four different crimes, only some of which took place while he served as president, but he took to Truth Social to argue that presidents must be free to commit crimes.
If a president doesn't have immunity, he or she will be nothing more than a ceremonial president, rarely having the courage to do what has to be done for our country and to make our country great again. This is not what the founders had in mind at all. This is not what they wanted to think about. This is not where they wanted us to be. The founders wanted the president to have immunity so the president can feel free to make decisions. Hopefully, they'll be great decisions. But whether they are or not, a president of the United States has to have immunity. But if you don't have presidential immunity, if you don't have a strong form of immunity, you're not going to have anything. You're not going to have a president that can function. It's not going to work. It would never work. Everybody assumes that a president has immunity. A president has to have immunity, or he cannot or she cannot function.
Okay. So maybe you cannot function, Donald Trump. But the founders did not intend on having a president having immunity. Otherwise, if they did, well, you know, they could have just included it in our founding documents, like the U.S. Constitution, in which they said absolutely nothing about presidential immunity. Also, the idea that a president can't function without immunity from criminal actions is belied by the fact that we have had more than 250 years of functioning presidents who did not face criminal charges after leaving office, at least until Donald Trump came along and pretended as if suddenly presidents had to have immunity from crimes in order to be able to function. In any event, that was a written statement. It was read from a teleprompter, so he wasn't making it up. He went out of his way. Somebody did to write that down and to have him say it. And then it was posted by Trump on his failing Truth Social website just one day after he had posted this other prepared video on Truth Social.
At what point are the actions of a sitting president using lawfare and weaponization against his opponent for purposes of election interference, considered illegal.
Never. At no point. You just said so yourself. There's nothing that Joe Biden can do that would be illegal because he's president. And as we all know, the founders intended presidents to have complete and total immunity. That's what you're going to the U.S. Supreme Court for next week. Actually, you're not going. You're going to be at your criminal trial in New York, but that's what they're going to be. Your lawyers are going to be apparently arguing in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. If a president can't be allowed to commit crimes, after all, he can't function. Am I right, Mr. Trump? So what do you care? Even if your imaginary claim, which he goes on to make and has made many times in the past, that even if Joe Biden is somehow, you know, the super secret genius behind all of the trials and over all of the crimes that you committed, Donald Trump, which Joe Biden isn't, the investigation of the crimes that you are facing now in New York, by the way, related to paying off a porn star to keep her mouth quiet about you having sex with her while your own wife was nursing your newborn son to help you cheat in order to win the 2016 election, that investigation was begun during your administration, Mr. Trump, by your own Department of Justice, Mr. Trump. I knew Joe Biden was good, but not that good. But even if Joe Biden had anything to do with it, which he doesn't, it would never, ever be illegal. Never. By your own argument. Anyway, your own wrong argument, but your own argument that you were hoping to see argued next week before your own corrupted U.S. Supreme Court. In that same video, by the way, Trump accuses Joe Biden of not being able to string two words together, even though he is somehow able to pull off this super complex, super genius, evil scheme of getting Trump charged with about 90 different felonies in two different states and two different federal jurisdictions without ever leaving a trace of evidence behind. Who knew that sleepy Joe Biden had anything to do with it? That's some super genius stuff from a guy who can't string two words together. Meanwhile, in New York, where Trump himself is reported to have nodded off yet again on Tuesday during the second day of jury selection in the first ever criminal trial of a U.S. president. Prosecutors noted, quote, "This case is about falsifying business records to cover up efforts to influence the 2016 election." Bingo. There it is in a nutshell, notes former Obama ethics advisor Norm Eisen today. Quote, "No mention of hush money at all." And he's right. It's not about having an affair with a porn star. It's about falsifying business records in order to try and cheat to win the 2016 election. At a time just after the Access Hollywood tape had come out and top members of his own party were considering ways to replace him on the ticket that year, just a month before the election. Had Stormy Daniels gone public with the news that she had had an extramarital affair with Trump, he might have lost the race, which he barely won in 2016 by just a few thousand votes in three different states. He violated campaign finance laws in order to cheat to win that election, and then spent the next year covering it up as president of the United States, writing checks to make sure everybody stayed quiet about this. As New York prosecutors have now begun to make clear, it was to cover up efforts to influence the 2016 election. So every time you hear him talking about election interference, he's talking about himself. As you know, the historic so-called hush money trial, as AP describes it, of Donald Trump got underway on Monday. We discussed it on yesterday's show in detail. It began with the arduous process of selecting a jury to hear the case, in which Donald Trump may face as many as 4 years in prison if found guilty. Day one ended without any jurors being chosen after a late start and a bunch of pretrial arguments, underscoring the difficulty of selecting 12 jurors and six alternates who are able to put aside any opinions about Donald Trump to focus only on the facts and evidence and law in this case. Only about a third of the 96 people in the first panel of potential jurors remained after the judge excused some members. More than half of the group was excused after telling the judge they could not be fair and impartial. The prospective jurors are being asked 42 questions about their backgrounds, hobbies, news habits, whether they hold strong beliefs about Trump that would prevent them from being impartial, and about attendance at Trump or anti-Trump rallies. They will be known only by number, as the judge has ordered that their names be kept secret from everyone except prosecutors, Trump himself, and their legal teams. Based on the answers, the attorneys can ask a judge to eliminate people, quote, for cause if they meet certain criteria for being unable to serve or they can't be unbiased. The lawyers can also use peremptory challenges to nix 10 potential jurors just cause. 10 potential jurors and two prospective alternates without giving any reason. The process of finding 12 jurors and six alternates could, they had been telling us, take about 2 weeks, though based on progress made on Tuesday, it may now be much quicker than that. The first seven jurors for Donald Trump's hush money trial were actually chosen on Tuesday after lawyers grilled members of the jury pool about their social media posts, their political views, personal lives, to decide whether they can sit in fair judgment of the former president. The panelists who were sworn in are an IT worker, an English teacher, an oncology nurse, a sales professional, a software engineer, and a corporate lawyer. Make of all of that what, you know, as you see fit. On Monday, Judge Juan Merchan had told the potential jurors, quote, "You are about to participate in a trial by jury. The system of trial by jury," he told them, "is one of the cornerstones of our judicial system. The name of this case is the people of the state of New York versus Donald Trump." Let's see, 11 more people still need to be picked before the opening statements begin as early as next week at this point in the Manhattan case. They thought it would be 2 weeks, but they got 7 out of 12 right now. So 7 out of 12 and then, what was it, 6 alternates. So they seem to be moving along pretty fast at this point.
We will see.
The judge has instructed Trump that he must be present for all proceedings and that if he failed to appear, law enforcement would arrest him and bring him in. I don't know, but I hope the prosecutors are also finding out before selecting jurors whether they invested in Trump media or not. There could be a whole lot of, sadly, sick people in the prospective jury pool out there. But we will see. Let's take a quick break here, and we will be back with more sickness, I'm afraid, this time in the halls of Congress. Also, Desi Doyen, not sick at all,
no,
has our latest Green News report later on this hour. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. The brain poisoning, I'm sad to say, continues in Congress today. The barely Republican-controlled U.S. House sent two articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate on Tuesday. That would be weeks after they needed two different votes on the floor to get articles, to get these impeachment articles through the House in the first place. So they sent them over, walked them over, now forcing a trial in the U.S. Senate on allegations that Mayorkas has, quote, willfully and systematically refused to enforce immigration laws. This is the first ever impeachment of a sitting cabinet member. Democrats and a number of Republicans in the Senate have argued there is no evidence of impeachable offenses at all, and that the action is actually meant as a revenge impeachment by House Republicans on behalf of the twice impeached former president. They charge that Mayorkas is guilty of no high crimes or misdemeanors, and that his only crime is actually carrying out the policies of the sitting president as he is supposed to as a cabinet member. So, yeah, ready or not, we may have an impeachment this week, Desi Doyen.
Oh, boy.
Who knew? The Senate is actually obligated to hold a trial under the rules of impeachment once the charges are walked across the Capitol. That said, according to AP today, the proceedings may not last very long. Democrats are expected to try to dismiss the impeachment or to table the charges before the full arguments get underway. Once they are underway, it can take a while. Both sides have to present their evidence or lack thereof, whatever it is. House Republicans have argued there should be a full trial on this matter in the Senate. After Tuesday's ceremonial procession and presentation of the articles in the Senate, the proceedings will begin, actually not necessarily on Wednesday. Senators will be sworn in as jurors, turning the chamber into the court of impeachment. The Senate will then issue a summons to Mayorkas to inform him of the charges and ask for a written answer. He will not have to appear according to the rules. The entire process could be done within hours on Wednesday. It could be done. Majority Democrats have said that the GOP case against Mayorkas doesn't rise to the high crimes and misdemeanors that are laid out as a bar for impeachment in the Constitution. And Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer probably has enough votes to end the trial immediately if he does decide to start it on Wednesday or any other day. If the trial does move forward, it would then require a vote of 2/3 of the nearly evenly divided Senate to remove Mayorkas from office, which simply ain't going to happen. But good thing there is nothing else of note right now that either the House or Senate needs to be accomplishing. They got plenty of time to stop and hold, what, an endless trial. Why not endless? You know, nothing to do other than maybe helping to save democracy itself by sending a foreign aid package to Ukraine, as they are said to be running out of ammunition to defend themselves against the imperialist invasion by their neighbor Russia, which apparently House Republicans continue to support, as the calls for House Speaker Mike Johnson to be removed himself from his speakership, those continue to grow from Republicans today, Republicans who are furious that Mike Johnson has said that he will hold a vote on this matter soon, whenever soon is, you know, for aid to Ukraine. It's amazing. Brain poisoning from top to bottom.
I'd also think that maybe some Russian influence might be playing a role.
And finally today, before we get to our latest Green News report, with actually some kind of cool news in it, even if it's scattered amongst all of the worsening nightmares.
Yeah, true.
Voting system vendor Smartmatic and the far-right network known as One America News, and I just had to pause here to thank CNN in their report for calling them that, for calling them the far-right network instead of the conservative news network or some nonsense like that. Good for them.
I
know,
yeah.
Right? Anyway, let's see. So Smartmatic and OAN said on Tuesday that they had reached a settlement. They had settled a defamation lawsuit stemming from the outlet's lies about the 2020 election, the outlet being OAN. OAN attorney Chip Babcock told CNN, quote, "The case has been resolved pursuant to a confidential agreement." Both parties declined to share details about the settlement. The case against OAN was one of a spate of lawsuits filed against right-wing outlets in the aftermath of the 2020 election, after pro-Trump outlets spread lies suggesting, without evidence, that President Joe Biden had not been legitimately elected president. Smartmatic filed its lawsuit against OAN in 2021, alleging that the right-wing conspiracy network, again, thank you, CNN, that's them, not me, calling them the right-wing conspiracy network, quote, victimized the company and spread lies about its role in the 2020 election to, quote, increase viewership and revenue. The development, CNN notes, comes about 1 year after Fox News reached a massive settlement with Dominion Voting Systems. Fox paid more than $787 million to end that lawsuit, becoming the largest publicly known defamation settlement in U.S. history. Man, we started the show about people who are blowing their money on Donald Trump's dumb stock DJT, blowing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm reminded here near the end of the show that Fox News blew $787 million because they just couldn't help themselves from lying, from repeating the lies about Joe Biden somehow stealing the election on behalf of Donald Trump. It is mind-boggling. What won't they do for this guy? They would drink the Kool-Aid if he asked them to do so. This is how cult figures operate. Anyway, while we don't know how much OAN agreed to pay here, if anything, but I bet they did, Smartmatic still has pending lawsuits also against Fox News and against Newsmax, and several pro-Trump figures who also pushed lies about the election. That would be Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, and so forth. OAN has also settled a defamation suit back in September with the former Dominion executive, Eric Coomer, whose case revealed how the network worked with Trump campaign lawyer Sidney Powell and others to lie about the election. DirecTV dropped OAN, again, CNN calls them the far-right network, from its lineup in 2022, dealing a significant blow to the outlet. In the lawsuit, Smartmatic alleged that OAN hosts and guests made dozens of false claims about the company's role in the 2020 election when, by the way, the only place in the U.S. where Smartmatic actually did business was here in Los Angeles County.
And that was a pretty easy fact for them to have ferreted out, but they just somehow couldn't manage it.
Well, I blame myself, of course. L.A. County is, like I said, the only place that uses Smartmatic touchscreen voting systems or any type of voting systems in the U.S., but right-wingers, you may recall, we're citing some of my own exclusive reporting from the Brad blog from way back in 2008 and 2010 in order to claim that Smartmatic was secretly doing business all over the country, which was an obvious, if hilarious, misreading of my reports.
Yep.
But you're welcome. Personalities on the network repeatedly said Smartmatic software was used in voting machines in, quote, 30 states, including battleground states like Michigan and Pennsylvania, instead of only here in L.A. County. OAN claimed that Smartmatic software was used to, switch votes from President Trump to Joe Biden. Again, no evidence of that, and said that the company was engaged in digital ballot stuffing to help Biden win, though zero evidence has ever been offered to support those claims. If it had been, I'd be happy to report on it. The case was still in the discovery phase when the settlement was reached and announced on Tuesday as depositions were scheduled to begin for OAN owner Robert Herring, a wealthy California businessman, and his son Charles Herring, who is the network's president. But those will not happen now that the case has concluded, and I suspect the settlement in the case was related to the fact that the Herrings were just about to have to testify in this case. Both of them are also entangled in a potential criminal scandal within the lawsuit. Smartmatic claimed in court filings that the pair may have, quote, engaged in criminal activities by obtaining and then sharing internal passwords of Smartmatic employees. OAN has denied the allegation. While the Smartmatic case is over, OAN still faces a separate defamation lawsuit brought by Dominion over its promotion of 2020 election lies. Will the 2020 election lies ever end? I don't know that they will. Quick break, and we're back with Desi Doyen and the Green News Report right after this. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is the Bradcast. Hi, this is Brad. My thanks to those who stopped by bradblog.com/donate to sign up for a subscription to the Bradcast of any amount you like. We rely on you to stay on your public airwaves. Please grab a subscription at bradblog.com/donate. Thank you. As noted earlier, a couple of cool and kind of exciting things amid all of the horror.
Just wait for
it. In our latest Green News Report.
We really are running out of time.
Record ocean heat is now bleaching coral reefs around the world. Biden raises royalties to drill and mine on public lands, the first update in a century, plus...
It just doesn't seem to be letting up, and we still don't know what the cause is.
Bizarre fish behavior is a marine mystery in Florida.
All of those mysteries and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and... snarky comment.
Well, we'll see what happens. Next week, I think we're going to defend the freedom to own the right kinds of appliances.
Thank you for your bravery, Congressman Warren Davidson of Ohio. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, so the Republicans are really going to be defending the freedom to own the right kind of appliances?
Well, they were. House Republicans were planning what they called Appliance Week, their war on woke appliances, with hearings attacking the Biden administration's efforts to save consumers money on their energy costs by upgrading energy efficiency standards for household appliances.
They're against that.
They are. They were going to bring out the Liberty Laundry Act, the Refrigerator Freedom Act, the Clothes Dryer Reliability Act, and the Stop Unaffordable Dishwasher Standards Act.
Well, I'm glad there's nothing else going on of note that we would need Congress to do.
Yeah, and they've dropped it now.
What?
So, yes, sad.
So they've decided to do things that actually matter, like maybe fund our allies in Ukraine?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, we'll see what else you got for us today.
Well, our top story, record ocean temperatures are pushing the world's coral reefs to the brink. Corals are bleaching and dying around the world, scientists say, due to a months-long ocean heat wave driven by man-made global warming. Scientists with NOAA and the International Coral Reef Initiative confirmed the world is now seeing its fourth global coral bleaching event with mass coral stress across the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans.
Not good.
Bleaching occurs when stressed corals expel their colorful symbiotic algae. And it matters because life-sustaining coral reefs are nurseries for marine species and generate trillions of dollars in revenue annually. For Australia's Great Barrier Reef, it is the fifth mass bleaching event in just 8 years. Marine biologist Dr. Selena Ward, in a BBC interview, says corals can recover, but they will die in repeated bleach events, threatening the ocean food web.
I can't help but wonder what it's going to take for the right decisions to be made. We really are running out of time. We need to reduce our emissions immediately. We cannot expect to save the Great Barrier Reef and to be opening new fossil fuel developments, whether they be coal or gas.
off the coast of Florida, scientists are alarmed at the bizarre behavior of fish that could be linked to the ocean's heat. At least 70 different species of fish in Florida have been observed spinning and behaving erratically. Critically endangered sawfish have suffered the highest mortality over just the last few weeks. Huh. State and federal scientists still have not identified the cause. Leading theories include toxic algae blooms and record ocean temperatures.
Wow, scary.
But some better news.
Yes, please.
Innovation in Indiana. Construction is now underway on a pilot project to test new technology developed by Purdue University, a highway that can wirelessly charge electric vehicles as they drive on it.
Cool.
The primary goal is to help electrify long-haul trucks that take longer to charge due to their size.
Let's get it done, please.
The Biden administration has released another tranche of funding from the 2021 infrastructure law. $830 million in new grants across 37 states to harden transportation infrastructure for resilience against extreme weather impacts turbocharged by man-made climate change. And finally, big news, the Biden administration late last week hiked the cost of oil drilling on the public's lands, raising royalty rates that fossil fuel companies pay to the government to drill and mine. It's the first increase since 1920. The new rules also increased by tenfold the bond that companies must secure before they can drill to ensure they pay their cleanup costs.
Good.
That is the first update in 60 years. The fossil fuel industry says higher rates will harm the economy, but the administration says the modernized rules bring federal rates up to what states and private landowners are already charging for drilling leases, and they reflect the actual environmental costs of drilling and mining.
So it's the same price they're paying when they drill on private lands. Now they're complaining because they're being charged that amount to drill on public lands.
Yes. The U.S. is now the world's number one producer of oil, so the increases will generate more revenue for taxpayers and help to clean up more than 3 million abandoned oil and gas wells on the public's lands.
Well, that sounds terrible. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.brandblog.com. I'm Brand Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is mine.
Thank you very much, Desi Doyen.
Yeah, it's about time that those royalties got raised. I'm glad it's happening.
She is our producer. We are very grateful to her, as I am grateful to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it for free anytime at brandblog.com. That service is made possible only by those of you who hit one of those donate buttons when you stop by, or if you go straight to bradblog.com/donate, please help us stay on your public airwaves. We like it here, sort of. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, you will find Desi at Green News Report. And you will find me at the Brad Blog. See you there. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest.